ओम जनक मिनंदस्य जना जना सलकयात् चक्षुर्मृतांजन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं देन भूतले सायं रूपकदामायं ददति सापनतिकम्। पंचकपुत्रेभ्यः कृपासिन्धुभ्यः पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। Out of Lord Shiva's mercy, he decided to benedict the Pachetas, but yet, although we have to say it was his causeless mercy, still the Pachetas had qualities that attracted him. But those qualities, or any devotee's qualities, exalted as they may be, are insufficient to bring mercy. There's the willingness on the part of the Ashraya, or the carrier of the mercy, that is ultimately the cause of mercy coming. But yet, we should do our part, and our part, well, the Pachetas did their part. They had very wonderful qualities. They were sattva. They were well-behaved. And they were ready to perform austerities to please the Lord. So Lord Shiva came, and he decided to teach them some prayers that they could use while meditating, while performing their austerities for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. At the end of the prayers, Lord Shiva will explain where these prayers came from, and because he himself did not make them up. But we'll wait till then before describing that. But here in text 32, actually 33, Lord Shiva begins. So just before that point, he tells the Pachetas, or out of his causeless mercy, the exalted personality, Lord Shiva, a great devotee of Lord Narayan, continued to speak to the king's sons, who were standing with folded hands. Lord Shiva addressed, he began his prayers, and they were to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jitam ta atmavidvarya svastaye svastarastume bhavata radasaradham savasma atmane nama. So these prayers are, they're divided into several parts, very, very clear parts. So this is the first part. And this is the first of the prayers, or the first of the verses in this first part. And Jitam Ta, as Prabhupada explains in his purport, means all glories unto you. Jitam, all glories, Te, unto you, all glories unto you. That's how he's addressing the Lord. So in this section, and what we'll do is, because the purports are quite long and the verses, there's a lot of things in each verse. So what I'll do is I'll read the verses, and then hopefully we'll have time and we'll read at least some of the purports. So he says, Lord Shiva addresses the Lord for the benefit of the Pachetas, so that they learn these prayers, they learn how to pray themselves and what to pray for. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glories unto you. Why are there all glories unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because he's glorious. He has qualities and characteristics, attributes that are worthy of being praised. It's natural for a tiny, insignificant, living entity who doesn't have power who is subordinate, who is very vulnerable. It's natural for him to take shelter of great power. It's just simply natural. It is natural for a living entity to glorify God. But in this age, what is natural has become very extraordinary. People think, why should I glorify him? He may have good qualities. He may be so powerful, but so what? He's God. Of course he has good qualities. Why should I glorify him? But no, that is very unnatural. We glorify him to seek his favor because we need his shelter. This is very difficult for a conditioned soul to accept. We need God. We need his help. We need his shelter. Why? Because we are tiny and insignificant. And at the last moment of our life, we will understand this very clearly. But we should wait. We shouldn't wait till then. We need him. There may be so much fuzziness of consciousness covering our relationship with him. But regardless of that, we need him. So all glories to you, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the most exalted of self-realized souls. So that there are so many souls who know themselves, who know who they are, but the Lord, Lord Shiva is saying, is in a different category. He's the most exalted of those. That means also that if someone becomes self-realized and even understands that he is spiritual, he is still not as exalted as the Lord. He is the topmost of self-realized souls. So he is a soul too. He is the Paramatma. He is the Supreme Soul. The Supreme Soul. Since you are always auspicious for the self-realized, so even for the self-realized, he is auspicious. That means that when one becomes self-realized, he doesn't merge with the Lord and become the Lord and lose all difference of identity from the Lord. No, even when self-realized, he is the most exalted of self-realized soul, the Lord is. And he is always auspicious, especially auspicious for one who is self-realized. Because the ones who are self-realized can really get the benefit from the Lord. Because they are not blocked by the modes of material nature. The clouds of Maya do not cover them. So they're really benefiting from the shining, wonderful association of him. And we, under the dense, dark clouds of Maya, we're thinking, oh, is he even there? Is the sun really even there? I'm not really sure. I'm not ready to accept whether the sun is really there or not. As if it makes any difference at all, whether what we accept or don't accept. So since you are always auspicious for the self-realized, what Shiva is saying, I wish that you be auspicious for me, because I am self-realized, implied in there. I am self-realized, and what do I realize about myself? That I am your servant, and therefore I am your devotee. So please be auspicious for me. And Lord Shiva's name even means auspicious. Shiva means literally auspicious. So auspicious Lord Shiva is wishing for auspiciousness to come to him from the Lord. You are worshipable by virtue of the all-perfect instructions you give. So when one takes the instructions of the Lord, such as those given in the Bhagavad Gita, then one will come to the conclusion that it is he who is to be worshipped. You are the super soul Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto you as the Supreme Living Being. One time I was at a meeting, and Jayadwaita Swami it was, he said something about Krishna, that of course if we say if Krishna's a person, no one would object, but he said something about, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he is a being, a living being. He is a living entity, like we are living entities. But he is the supreme living entity, and our existence is dependent upon him. And his existence is completely independent. He is the only one who is independent. Everything else is dependent upon him. Everything else and everyone else. He is the super soul. He is the Atma of everything. He is the soul of everything. His existence causes everything else's existence. So these prayers that we're going to read today, they're introductory prayers into the prayers of Lord Shiva. They introduce us to what he wants to say. And he's going to glorify the powerful aspects of Krishna, how Krishna manifests his power. And he's going to go, now he's talking about you are the super soul. The super soul is Vasudeva, who is all pervading. So he's going to show how it is Krishna who is worshipping manifests as the super soul, as Vasudeva. He manifests as Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and Shankarshan. And through each of these, he manifests different potencies, but it's ultimately Krishna who is the supreme independent potent that all these other expansions of the Lord are manifesting their energy because of. It is Krishna who is Savakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes, and he's manifesting different, incredibly powerful things through these different expansions. And then he'll keep on going after this quadruple expansion of Sankarsan, Aniruddha Vasudeva, and Pradyumna, then how it is Krishna who is the universal form, who is Krishna the air. He's Krishna is this, Krishna is that. Why is he doing this? It's because later on, we hope to understand that there's a little boy who's holding sometimes, who has bluish complexion, bluish like a fresh monsoon cloud, a water-laden cloud, but effulgent, and has a peacock feather in his hair. And he's got a flute in his belt. And he has some food, prasadam, that his mother gave him in his hand. And he's herding the cows. And he's wearing those shoes, like half the people in Perth. So yet, that little boy, who is so beautiful, is the cause of all these different things, all these different expansions. He is the super soul. He is the complete independent. Everything is dependent upon him. He's the most exalted. All self-realized souls worship him. So unless we understand the power of this person, when we see him walking around or hear of him in his pastimes, we're going to misunderstand and think this is just ordinary. But yet, Lord Shiva, the topmost authority, is pointing out how this Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is so powerful. So to love Krishna, to become a devotee of Krishna, one has to understand his power very, very carefully. Otherwise, one will misunderstand Krishna's position and think he's ordinary. And then to really love Krishna, one's understanding of his opulence must be covered. Otherwise, there'll be too much veneration, and that will prohibit the depth of the love from manifesting, but that is a way later stage. So Lord Shiva is preparing us to understand who this Krishna actually is, so that we understand him properly, so we can give ourselves to him, so we can offer him our prayers, regardless of the fact that he may be herding cows and may be playing on his flute and calling the gopis in the middle of the night and lifting Govardhan Hill or something, or taking the cows to the Yamuna River to drink water. But yet, with no effort, through his expansions, Krishna is maintaining and supporting Aham Savasya Prabhavoma Taksaham Prabhatade. I am the source of everything, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. So here he's describing Vasudev, Krishna, who is the super soul. Also in the next verse as well. My Lord, Shiva says, you are the origin of the creation. So remember, again, he's glorifying Krishna, but how Krishna manifests these things. He doesn't personally cause the creation, but he does this through the expansion of his expansion. Krishna's first expansion is Balaram, Baladev. Then from Baladev comes Mahashankarshan. From Mahashankarshan comes another Shankarshan, and the other three, Aniruddha Padumya and Vasudev. And through that Shankarshan comes Karanadakshay Vishnu. And then from that Karanadakshay Vishnu comes Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And from the navel of that Garbhadakshay Vishnu comes the universe, while Krishna is tending the cows. But he's the Sarvakaranam Karanam. He's the cause of everything. So you are the origin of the creation by virtue of the lotus flower which sprouts from your navel. That's Garbhadakshay Vishnu. You are the supreme controller of the senses and the sense objects, because he controls the demigods that control the senses, and he controls the sense objects. He is the source of all the sense objects, ultimately, because the sense objects are just Krishna's Maya Shakti, the Upadan Karan, the ingrediential cause. So you are also the all-pervading Vasudev, the super soul. You are most peaceful. In spite of Krishna being the creator of the universe, just imagine, Jason, if you had to create the universe, how much anxiety you'd be in. Oh no, what to do next? Everyone's got their list. Everyone's praying to me, do this, do that, make it rain. Half the people are praying, make it rain. The other half are praying, make the sun shine. The other half are praying, make the surf good. Or whatever. Oh, what am I going to do? So you'd be in so much anger. But he, although doing this, he's not doing anything. He has expansions do all this. And there he is in Vrindavan. You are most peaceful. And because of your self-illuminated existence, your existence is Swayam Prakash. Independent. You're self-illuminated. Well, your consciousness illuminates you, and you understand yourself. Well, our consciousness is not self-illuminated. We can't understand anything without Krishna's illumination being present, just like we have our eyes. But our eyes do not see anything without Krishna providing in one way or another light. So we don't have self-illuminating eyes. But Krishna is self-illuminating his consciousness. His existence is self, it's independent. You are not disturbed by the six kinds of transformations. What are the six kinds of transformations? They disturb us, but Krishna is completely above this through Vasudev. Here's what the six are. These are called the waves of material existence. Think of them as waves, and we're in the ocean of material existence. and the waves are washing over us. And what are these waves? They are the living entity becomes agitated when he is hungry. We cannot tolerate it. We become so disturbed. When we are thirsty, when they are aggrieved, what does aggrieved mean? Lamentation, what else?
Distressed.
This is a wave that comes over everyone sometime or another. Hunger, thirst, aggravation for one thing or another. Illusion, that's four. And when they grow old, the wave of old age will pass. If we're fortunate, it will pass over us. If we're unfortunate, we won't live that long to be old. And ultimately, the sixth wave is when they are on their deathbed. So Krishna never gets touched by these waves because he is not at all in the material ocean. So this is Vasudev, the qualities of Vasudev, the all-pervading supersoul. Next, Prajumna and Sankarshan, text 35. My dear Lord, Lord Shiva says, you are the origin of the subtle material ingredients. So we see so many things in this world. The subtle is the cause of the gross. Those things that are here, that are gross, have their cause in the subtle. We've already heard this being explained in the second and the third canto, as we heard about the creation so many times. So there are gross things in this world and they're caused by the subtle. But where do the subtle things come from? That is ultimately Sankarshan, who is the cause of Gobadaksha Vishnu, Karanadaksha Vishnu, and Chiradaksha Vishnu. You are the master of all integration as well as the master of all disintegration. We take everything for granted in this world. What holds it all together? What stops what stops the curtains from just floating away? What stops the planets from just going off? Just going off. Well, what keeps the planes flying? What keeps our feet on the ground? The top of our head on the rest of our head. Our eyes in the sockets, the blood flowing. What keeps all this? The integration of everything. The holding together of the body. We take everything for granted. But that is the Sankarshan principle. By his potency, things are maintained in this world. And he also causes the disintegration. As soon as he wants, anything and everything is finished. From the universe to the heart beating to everything, completely finished by the Sankarshan potency of Ananta. Ananta. So he's saying, this is Krishna's potency. I'm offering my prayers to Krishna. We are tiny, we are insignificant, and Krishna is powerful, and we are fully dependent upon him. You are the master of all intelligence, known as the predominating deity Prajumna. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. My Lord, as the supreme directing deity known as Aniruddha, you are the master of the senses and the mind. If someone can be so intelligent and their mind goes, they can do nothing. No one can do anything. But it is Krishna in the form of Aniruddha, not exactly Krishna, but an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna, in the form of Aniruddha, that is keeping everyone's mind working to whatever degree it works, and the senses working. I therefore, Lord Shiva says, offer my obeisances unto you again and again. You are known as Ananta, as well as Shankarshan, because of your ability to destroy the whole creation by the blazing fire from your mouth. My Lord, Lord Shiva continues, O Aniruddha, you are the authority by which the doors of the higher planetary systems and liberation are open. Those who follow the Vedas and following the karma section of the Vedas, they are performing a sacrifice. And by the power of this sacrifice, figuratively speaking, the doors of heaven swing wide open and they can walk through. But who is putting the potency in the Vedic sacrifices that allows someone to attain heaven by performing them? That is Aniruddha, an expansion of Krishna. So nothing is independent from Krishna. The karma monks, the followers of Jaimini Rishi, they don't want to worship Krishna, they just want to accumulate so much good karma. Maybe you could put the sound down a little bit. That they can remain independent from Krishna and just keep circulating in the heavenly planets forever. But still they are dependent on Krishna because he opens the door and the doors of liberation, even for an impersonalist, even for someone who says the supreme form of the Lord doesn't exist. Still, it is by the mercy of Krishna that he can get liberated. Without some mercy of Krishna, no one can get liberated. No matter how much one tries to meditate upon the Brahman, no one can attain liberation without Krishna's mercy. You are always within the pure heart of the living entity. Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto you. You are the possessor of semen, which is like gold, and thus in the form of fire. You help the Vedic sacrifices, beginning with the Chaturhotra. Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto you. Prabhupada explains in the purport, not only does Lord Aniruddha help fruitive actors by elevating them to the higher planetary systems, but he also helps the devotee engage in devotional service by dint of his inexhaustible energy. Because ultimately the devotee, to serve Krishna, it's like sometimes we say, how many books did you distribute? How many devotees did you make? How many? But actually we don't distribute books. We don't make devotees. These things are not in our power. This is done by the Krishna's energy, and we pray to be instrumental to Krishna's energy or not get in the way of it, of its working. And it's by Krishna's power, Krishna's bhakti shakti, kripa shakti, that one advances too. We don't work really hard and advance by our power. Yes, we work hard, but that isn't directly the cause of our advancement. Maybe it's an exhibition of our sincerity, our sincere desire to serve Krishna. But that isn't the cause of our advancement. The advancement is caused by Krishna's mercy, by the potency, the internal energy of the Lord. My Lord, text 38. You are the provider of the Pitri Loka, as well as the demigods. So now Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Vasudev and Shankarshan, they are Krishna's energies that are so powerful, not energies, expansions that are so powerful. And the demigods here, people worship the demigods, people worship Lord Shiva, people worship so many things, but it is ultimately Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arsava Vritya. There is only Krishna ultimately, who is the ultimate. He is ultimately the ultimate. So you are the provider of the Pitralokas as well as the demigods. You are the predominating deity of the moon and the master of the three Vedas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the original source. Listen to this one. You are the original source of satisfaction for all living entities. So satisfaction, our own satisfaction, when we feel satisfied, if anyone can remember, feeling satisfied, what do you feel? What's the sort of the feeling? Okay, Graham?
Relaxed.
Huh?
Relaxed.
Relaxed. What else? Comfortable. What else?
Full.
Huh?
Full.
Who said that? You said that you feel full? Full of prasadam. Sounded like, yeah.
Detached, yeah.
Yeah, detached. You feel sort of like you don't need anyone anymore, right? Yeah, happy. You're so happy that you don't need anyone anymore. Not thinking that the cause of that feeling of satisfaction is also Krishna. So at every point we're dependent on Krishna. Therefore, who said it? I think it was earlier on in the third canto, maybe. I think either Maitreya or Vidura said, all we can do is, just as a matter of sanity, offer our obeisances to the Lord, because we're completely dependent upon Him, hoping that He will smile upon us and every once in a while give us some satisfaction and give us some energy to work and or whatever. Even just for those reasons, you are the original source of satisfaction for all living entities. Yeah, the Prabhupada says in his purport, the tongue, he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Lord Shiva prays to Aniruddha to give him strength so that he will not taste anything but the prasad of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a verse indicating that the tongue is the most formidable enemy amongst all the senses. What verse is that? Jive Pelevisa Sagare. If one can control the tongue, he can easily control the other senses. The tongue can be controlled only by eating prasad offered to the deity. Lord Shiva's prayer to Lord Aniruddha is meant for this purpose. Triptidaya. He prays to Lord Aniruddha to help him be satisfied by eating only prasad offered to the Lord. He continues, text 39, Lord Shiva. So in these verses that we're reading today, he's establishing who he's praying to. My dear Lord, you are the gigantic universal form which contains all the universal bodies of the living entities. So that is Krishna, just like it is Krishna who is in everyone's heart. It is Krishna manifesting as the Paramatma. Similarly, it is Krishna manifesting in the material energy as the Visharup, Varadrup, universal form, which contains all the individual bodies of the living entities in some type of subtle form. You are the maintainer of the three worlds. And as such, you maintain the mind, the senses, the body, and the air of life within them. He's maintaining it all, the body. As soon as he pulls out his maintenance energy, body is finished. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. My dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. So everything is understood by sound vibration. There's always questioning, answering, questioning, answering, questioning, answering. Everything is understood by sound vibration. And that vibration, either material or spiritual, is coming by Krishna's mercy. You are the all-pervading because it's vibrated through ether. If he stopped that working, it wouldn't work. So we're dependent upon him at every moment, and we don't think about this. We want to see God. But he's there through all these different expansions in their energies and his activities. And therefore, a person who is a devotee, he'll see Krishna in everything. He sees his mercy everywhere. Stavaram jagamam dekina deki taramuti savatrohoya nija ishtadeva spruti. You are the all-pervading sky within and without. There's air, ether, within everything and without. We see the air. We can feel the air. We can't see the air, but we can feel it. So there's air outside, but there's also air inside, completely, in every atom. Even in elementary school science, we learn about atoms. And atoms are mostly space in between them, all the different imaginary particles. So you are, that's your energy. You're everywhere, and you are the ultimate goal of pious activities executed both within this material world and beyond it. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto you. So the goal of performing a good deed is to know Krishna. My dear Lord, you are the viewer of the results of pious activities. You are incarnation. This is interesting. So it is Krishna who's watching, because we heard this before. Whose argument was this, that there must be a controller? Remember? Earlier on in the Bhagavatam, there must be a controller because someone is awarding the pious activities that one, the results of the pious activities that one is performing. Who remembers where that was? It was in the fourth canto earlier. Huh? I think it was it was in Prithumas. I think the four Kumaras. Sanat Kumar was using that as an argument to show there must be a Supreme Lord. Because we see that when we do something good, there's a good result. And when we do something bad, there's a bad result in this world. And even if the state government doesn't catch someone for doing something bad, there is ultimately a bad result, and everyone knows this. So who is awarding these things? There must be an awarder if there are results from how one acts. So if there's a rewarder, that means that someone is watching each and every one of us at every moment, even when the lights are out, even when we close the door. Reminds me of a little story that Korma ended up writing. It was really, really funny. He wrote it up in an article at one point when he was taking a writing class in Vrindavan, and he wrote it up, and I thought it was actually so incredible. He was going to Mayapur, and the flight stopped in, he had an overnight stopover in Thailand. And they put him up in a hotel, and he was really, really tired. And in the hotel room, there was a television. And he was thinking, oh no, I don't want to put this television on. But you know, when there's a television there, there's so somehow he was tired and weak. And he turned on the television. And as he turned it on, the picture started coming in. And the first thing he heard was chink, 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 chink. And as the picture started coming in, there was a picture of Krishna and Balaram from the Vrindavan deities, the central altar of the Vrindavan deities. So he called the article that he wrote, he called it Big Brother is Watching You. Because the first thing he saw was Balarama. Yes, Big Brother is always watching us. Because Balaram, the Super Soul, is always there in the heart, and the Super Soul is ultimate expansion of Balaram. So you are the viewer of the results of pious activities. You are inclination. So when we usually think that Big Brother is watching us, we usually think, if you know Krishna is watching us, he's going to catch me for all the bad things I do. But a better way to look at it is that no good deed that we do ever gets overlooked. Krishna sees all the good that we do. So therefore, the more good that we do is better. You are inclination, disinclination, and the resultant activities. So that means that our inclinations, that is also dependent on Krishna. And disinclinations, all this is dependent on Krishna from within the heart. You are the cause of the miserable conditions of life caused by irreligion, and therefore you are death. I offer you my respectful obeisances. My dear Lord, you are the topmost of all bestowers of all benedictions. The oldest, so we usually when someone is about to ask for something, I'll say something like this: you can give everything, you can satisfy everyone's desire, you are the topmost bestower of all benedictions, because he's going to ask for a benediction. It's proper after offering prayers to ask for a benediction. And he's the topmost because there are so many people in this world who can bestow benedictions, give us grant our wishes. But every one of them is dependent, and Krishna is the only one who is independent. You are the oldest, the supreme enjoyer amongst all enjoyers. You are the master of the world's metaphysical philosophy, for you are the supreme cause of all causes, Lord Krishna. And here it says, Krishnas, Krishnaya, Krishnaya Kunta Medase. So he's offering all this actually to Lord Krishna. You are the greatest of all religious principles. This is the ultimate religious principle. There are so many religious principles, but the ultimate one is to satisfy Krishna. You are the supreme mind, and you have a brain which is never checked by any condition. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my obeisances unto you. We are limited in knowledge. Everything that we have, everything that we can do is dependent, and Krishna is unlimited and completely independent. So here is the final verse in this section of prayers. My dear Lord, you are the supreme controller of the worker, sense activities, and results of sense activities, karma. Therefore, you are the control of the body, mind, and senses. What can we do without Krishna? Our hands won't work, our heart won't beat, our lungs won't take in big breaths of air, our feet won't work. Nothing works without Krishna. You are also the supreme controller of egotism, known as Rudra, the false egotism. And you are the source of knowledge and the activities of the Vedic injunctions. So now he's going to ask for some things, and we'll start hearing about some of those things tomorrow. He's going to give some descriptions of this Lord who is so incredibly powerful, who we are so fully dependent upon. He's going to give some descriptions of him. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Is this all directed
these prayers are directed towards Bhagavan Buddha?
No, no. All, he's mentioned different things. He's mentioned Aniruddha, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Prajumna. He's mentioned the universal form, the demigods, different things like that. He's mentioned many, many different things. But ultimately, he's offering them to the Lord who's manifesting in these ways. He said, you are the gigantic universal form. Oh, my Lord, O Aniruddha, you are the authority. My Lord, you are Aniruddha. Maybe you are the super soul. So you're saying who is actually the you that he's saying is manifesting in these ways?
He's in verse 36. He uses the word Aniruddha comes in there.
Yeah, but he.
It describes there that he's the Aniruddha. It's also the sun. Sun god.
Yes.
That's it. Aniruddha is a place you can help indicate in this verse that Aniruddha is the sun god by virtue of his expansions.
Yeah, and in text
and
42.
This one, he's the moon god. Lord Shiva also prays to Aniruddha to give him strength.
So, Lord Shiva is generally understood to be a worshipper of Shankarshan. Yes, Shankarshan. Generally.
Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev, do they all have standard Vishnu forms?
Yeah. Chaturvyuha, their forearm forms. There are also expansions of Shankarshan is an expansion of Balaram, Vasudev is an expansion of Dwarka Krishna, close like that. Pradyumna, Aniruddha. So they exist in Dwarka too.
They all four exist in Dwarka.
Krishna, Balaram, Pradyumna, Aniruddha.
But they're also all expansions of Balaram, right?
Not Vasudev.
Is it the next?
Anyway, we're mixing so many different levels. Ultimately, all prayers are offered to Krishna. Any other? Yes. Not the demigod. Lord Shiva is in a different category. Brahma especially. Lord Shiva is a different tattva. Hard to understand Shiva tattva. What was your question?
Whenever they are one, they can go to Shiva's home.
No, but a real devotee is always with Krishna, every moment. Real devotee, one who is above the modes of material nature, who is actually Vaishnava, not aspiring.
Yes, that is definitely, yes.
But that's what was meant.
I would think about Brahma, his service and his devotion to the love of his prayers and so as well as he was never really comparison. And I thought comparing my
love. Yes. Yes, they can. Because those positions of Lord, of Brahma, Lord Shiva, not Lord Shiva, but Lord Brahma and the other demigods, they are devotee positions, but they are material positions. While a pure devotee, the demigods want to have his darshan. Exalted devotees are the most rare creatures in this world, most rare living entities. Somewhere in the second canto, it describes in one purport how the pastimes of the Lord are always going on within the heart of a Paramhamsa devotee. So those kind of devotees, whether they are in this world or in the spiritual world, it is the same practically because they are so deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So it seemed to me that the what was put to us through that verse is showing the glory of devotion and pure devotional service. That practically speaking, actually speaking, it's a much more exalted position than the position of a demigod. That was the point that was being made. Because this is somewhat in the frame of reference, is that people worship the demigods to gain something, but the demigods, their position isn't as exalted or as wonderful as that of an exalted devotee. I think that was the point. So if a demigod is a pure exalted devotee, it's also wonderful. All right, well.
Everyone loves to eat. I thought I'd combine the two. So we can have
what, is that a train?
It's the Lumber Express.
Oh. If we eat it, how will we get aboard?
Well, eating it. It's at least in 10 minutes. So if you haven't had cheese by then you may have to wait a long, long time.
This is that kind of a train that you get aboard by eating it. Oh, Hare Krishna. Well,
looks like there's a few people aboard already.
Yeah, I can't turn around. Let's see.
This is very special
driver.
Yeah, this is a new metaphor. Get aboard the train. Prabhupada's the driver. Yeah. Who's going to cut it? Who has the power to cut it? Not me. I just want to get aboard. Because Bunky isn't here, you have to cut it. And you're dressed for it. I take bribes. Like all good money, big TT. Huh? No, I take bribes. happy.
How wonderful.